Identification of Jihadi John as a British citizen and college graduate has given rise to discussion about what radicalizes young people. There's no single answer, but one aspect is to provide alternatives to the choice between deep frustration and dangerous radicalization. Dreams of self-determination in much of the world have been shattered by dictators, corporate plunder, and corruption of kleptocrats, too often with American backing. Dreams were shattered by the failure of pan-Arab and pan-African unity. Religious dreams were shattered by decades of repression of religious parties in the Middle East, jailing opposition leaders and attacking people over their faiths, and repeatedly denying them the fruits of victory at the polls. From the frustration of each failure came worse solutions. Our support and entanglement with repressive regimes have been a problem for us as well. And the damage is hard to undo. Change creates instability and therefore danger. The Humanitarian Law Project wanted to teach a Kurdish group how to bring their grievances to international bodies legally. Our government objected that the group was on a terrorist list, and teaching it peaceful ways to complain would only help it. The U.S. Supreme Court agreed, and the lawyers backed off. We also have problems with radicalization. Some years ago, my research assistant and I discovered that high school history texts provided no models of citizen protest appropriate to a democracy. They systematically excluded dissent and disagreement in the name of patriotism. One of the books even pictured the abolitionists before the Civil War as a lunatic fringe. When people have no legitimate outlet, all hell can break out. This country was extraordinarily lucky that the civil rights movement had the leadership of wise and thoughtful people like Dr. Martin Luther King, who took the path of nonviolence. They provided a path of peaceful protest, albeit protests that put the violence of the racist opposition on every TV set in the country. That reaction showed that everyone had been damaged by the repression of African Americans, and that repression threatens democracy, both because of what it does to the victors and to the losers. It showed that violence boomerangs in a democracy, but does a great deal of harm. Many paid with their lives for civil rights. Many of us would just like other Americans to celebrate the virtues of America as it is. But chief among those virtues is the ability to go public with injustices and try to get them changed. That ability is also a powerful defense against homegrown violent movements. Unfortunately, it's been a well-kept secret in many schools. All too often, as in Ferguson, Missouri, we watch political leadership and police treating popular demonstrations as if they have no place in democracy, as if people are just supposed to keep their reactions to themselves. The great Justice Louis Brandeis wrote in 1927 that the founders of our country knew that order cannot be secured merely through fear of punishment for its infraction, that hate menaces stable government, that the path of safety lies in the opportunity to discuss freely supposed grievances and proposed remedies, and that the fitting remedy for evil counsels is good ones. When people can't or don't understand how to get into that discussion, or are convinced they are powerless to participate, they're left with the hate that menaces stable government.